Mike here, and I've just finished recording the review for Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. You should actually probably be seeing that just before this comes out. And I figured while I'm here, why not just do some B-roll for you guys while I'm at it? Now, this is, I guess, technically B-roll slash behind the scenes. I often see on social media posts about how, you know, don't listen to critics. Critics have no idea what they're talking about. Movie critics are just snobby film majors, yada, yada, yada. And with all this negativity, I think you'd be well within your rights to basically go, Mike, why are you doing this? And quite simply, this is fun. When I first discovered what at the time was Spill.com back in 2008, after that site was shut down, the crew kind of split off to form DoubleToasted.com and OneOfUs.net, and they've basically become kind of my critique role models. A lot of what I've learned about film, I've learned from them, and they've always employed this fun, jokey, conversational style when doing film reviews that I just loved. And from day one, I remember watching them on YouTube or listening to their podcast and just being like, that sounds like so much fun. I want to do that. And then when Trevor originally pitched Real Geeks to Geeksploitation, as soon as I heard what he wanted to do, I was like, I'm in! And now there was a period where we had a lot of trouble getting stuff out. At that point, I was in no position to do the editing myself, and Trevor was barely in position to do it. But the problem is the two of us are also all we have to work with. So unfortunately, there was a period early this year where we just couldn't get the content edited and out. And unfortunately, there's also a lot of stuff there that I thoroughly loved, and I wanted to bring at least some of it to you in some fashion. So for this B-roll, you're basically getting clips where, because of how much I love doing this and how much fun I have with it, there have been moments where I've basically just all but lost my mind on camera. And these are moments that, as you can see, I can't just think about without chuckling at least a little bit. This first clip is from when we recorded our 2017 Best of the Year. The full footage was actually about 2 hours long. When you're filming at the library, you get 2 hour blocks in the studio, and we literally used every second of our studio time to record this. Unfortunately, with it being the holiday season and so forth, we just couldn't get it out, and by the time we could get back to it, it was basically late March. And of course, at that point, like, why bother? But you'll be seeing some clips from that, as there are moments on my list that I do want to bring to you. For this show, the moment is the number 10 spot on my Best of the Year list. And I'll explain why my number 10 spot is so ridiculous in the actual clip. But literally from the moment I started discussing my number 10 until the moment where I just stopped and went, okay, if I don't stop talking right now, Trevor is not going to have time to explore his list at all. So enjoy this moment with the three Bug Nuts insane films that I chose as my 10th best and, at the very least, most entertaining films of 2017. But with all that said, getting to my actual number 10, this will be the tie on my list. And I have to explain this first because I have a rule with cinematic top 10 lists. My number 10 is never, ever going to be an actually good movie. This is the spot for the movie that may not necessarily have been good, but holy God, did I have a good time watching it. Mm. So something like the first Twilight or Sucker Punch would have made the number 10 spot on my list the years those came out
there.
Because they're terrible movies, but I was laughing my ass off and having a blast. So, this year, we have King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, Valerian, City of a Thousand Planets, and Geostorm. Because King Arthur is Guy Ritchie trying to do, of course, the Arthurian legend. Here's the problem. The man only knows how to make British gangster films, and that's what he did here.
Exactly. I mean, I can honestly say I didn't see the movie.
Fair enough.
But just going from the trailer, I could tell, okay, he's trying to Sherlock Holmes the Arthurian legend.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, first of all, that worked for Sherlock Holmes because of the time period that that was set in. You're going back to medieval times. You just can't.
I know, and like that said though, the movie opens with Eric Bana's Uther Pendragon doing battle with this evil wizard. Now the evil wizard has these giant war elephants. Now oh, this gets better. When I say giant war elephants, I'm talking Godzilla sized. And the first few times, like the first few scenes where you see them, you see like, you know, like they have these glowing red eyes and so forth. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, they're obviously magic enhanced. I can buy into this. Now, by the end of this first battle, Uther, of course, kills the evil wizard. All his spells are broken. You expect that these elephants will shrink down to normal size. No. They're still so big that they could cover half the English countryside in 3 steps. And this was the point where I went, okay, I know what I am in for. And I am so happy. And then...
Well, then it's a good thing they opened the movie that way.
Oh, yeah. Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets. Now, visually, this is an absolutely beautiful film. And whenever they put up the name of a planet, you'll see underneath the coordinates for the planet, there is actually something at those coordinates on, like, actual spatial charts.
Right.
That's an attention to detail I can respect.
Like, just, again, another movie. I didn't get a chance to see it. I kind of wanted to see it.
Oh, dude.
The trailers alone... I could tell there was a lot of attention to detail with a picture like this.
Yeah.
But I could also tell that in spite of that, it was pretty much just your maybe not your average popcorn flick, but a popcorn flick nonetheless.
And now that said, this movie pretty much opens with Dane DeHaan, of course, as Valerian, and we're going to just put aside the general consensus that Dane DeHaan cannot act to save his life.
I would disagree with that, but I don't think he can lead to save his life.
Fair enough. I'm just generally saying that there are a lot of critics who would say that, compared to Dane DeHaan, William Shatner is an Oscar-winning performer. We're gonna just ignore that.
Okay.
Because this opens with Valerian's partner, Lorelai, tanning on a beach that turns out to be basically in a holodeck. DeHaan comes in. From the moment he is on camera, he begins to sexually harass his partner. In 2017, this is what we opened with!
Granted, this was all pre-Harvey Weinstein, but still.
Very true!
But still.
Damn! And he... There's an action sequence in a planetary kind of multi-dimensional market. Again, great visuals. It quotes Taken for no reason. Like, you remember the infamous
line?
I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
This is what the bad guy Jabba the Hutt analog, voiced by John Goodman.
I knew John Goodman was doing that voice. Like, I
wasted by John Goodman.
Because I heard that he was doing a character in that movie, and just watching the trailer and seeing that face, I was like, that has to be John Goodman.
But it's John Goodman who gets the Liam Neeson line. Dane DeHaan is the one who says good luck. Rihanna shows up.
God bless Rihanna. She, as a musical artist, is fucking phenomenal. And God bless her for her love of sci-fi.
Rihanna has said in interviews that her goal as an actress is to win a Best Actress Oscar. Laudable goal.
That's a fair goal for just about any actress,
Absolutely. And I highly respect her for setting a goal that high for herself. This was not the movie to do it. Now, her character is Bubbles, who is basically a shape-shifting stripper. Now,
as you do.
Because, you know, sure, what the hell. Now, again, visually, some wonderful transitional shape-shifting sequences with her character. She, spoiler alert, gets killed off fairly, like basically an action sequence after we're introduced to her. This is supposed to be a major dramatic moment, despite us being given no opportunity to get to know this character, no emotional investment, nothing. Like, I was literally sitting in the theater going, okay, why do I care? And, Valerian, it's a terrible movie, but at the same time, you need to see it. Its heart is in the right place. It's just, Luc Besson, dude, we need to talk. We did a full review for Geostorm specifically because I said to him, I've seen Valerian. You can't fully cover the insanity of Valerian in less than 5 minutes. Geostorm needed a full review. And Geostorm is the third one on this list because... Okay.
Because if you think those other two... If you think those other two were insane, those were movies that I didn't see, he did see, he can attest to their insanity. Geostorm was a movie that took the world by storm with its insanity.
Okay. Valerian, for no reason, has a live-action Jessica Rabbit cameo. Geostorm still topped it. Like, there's at one point you literally see a beachgoer in Rio not just outrun the weather, not just outrun a falling 747.
Right, right, right.
She fucking outruns the laws of physics! These are the movies that I think when I recorded my ref cut for Valerian, I opened by saying, once every few years, we get a movie that is so stupid, so just batshit insane, that it actually circles around the full gamut of bad moviedom to actually become good because it's so stupid, but so damn funny that you actually have a wonderful experience watching it.
Geostorm was that movie.
2017, we had that 3 times! That never happens!
I can understand now why you have to kind of fit that and them all together
in the
same category.
These are the movies that are so stupid they pushed Sharknado 5 off my list! That should tell
Sharknado
you everything.
5!
That's everything you need to know right there!
What do you want to bet they're going to end up eventually having 10 Sharknado movies?
Oh, at least. I know Sharknado 6 is coming. That's coming. And I can't wait!
You should just do a Sharknado TV series already.
Please? Forget Z Nation. I would watch the hell out of a Sharknado series.
Hey, Z Nation's actually a solid show. It's the one solid thing that Asylum has actually done.
To that, I'm only going to say watch Nazis at the Center of the Earth. Because, oh my god. that's one of my all-time top recommendations. Now, that said, I should probably stop ranting so you can actually start your list. These just made me so happy.
Well,
now, there have also been certain moments where I kind of find myself just taking pride in doing this, and the one that I'm going to end this episode on is probably the clip that I'm the most proud of. My friend Hef and I, Hef also being one of the on-stage performers for Geeks vs. Nerds shows, which if you see one at a con in your area, you should check it out. It's amazing. But she has been dying to do the original 1992 Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And at that point, I was doing a kind of a sub-show for Real Geeks Flashbacks, which has, of course, since been folded here into the B-roll. And so we finished that review, and I just turned to Hef and I was like, I don't know about you, but I still have all afternoon. We still haven't recorded the review for Wonder Woman, and that's a film, the impact it's had, it needs to be discussed. So we decided to sit down again, record that review. It's obviously far too late to release that review, but you'll get the 92 Buffy at some point. With the fact that I had to fly solo on Jurassic World, I'm probably going to have more time to edit because that's going to be a shorter review. But basically, Hef gave it a 5 out of 5. Absolutely loved the film, rightfully so. I gave my rating, which was initially a 3 out of 5, but Hef had brought up points during her discussion that I kind of thought about as she was talking. I was like, yeah, she's right. I think I'm going to go up to a 4. As with pretty much the entire DCEU, Wonder Woman did still have technical and visual effects issues that I just couldn't let pass. And then came my wrap-up. And I basically... You can't talk about Wonder Woman without talking about representation in film. And I wrapped up basically going off about the things that I, as a straight, cisgendered, white male, want to see in film. And keep your eyes on Hef. I kind of broke her as I was going off. And I think just where some of the comments that I was making are things that very much still need to be said even today, that this was probably the proudest moment I've had on camera. So with that, I will leave you with this clip from the Wonder Woman review that never was, and enjoy! I, as a critic, have the benefit of time. I have the benefit of seeing the impact that this film has had.
Aww.
I have the benefit of seeing what this film has done in terms of representation in cinema. And I'm saying this as a privileged as hell white male. I want more female leads. I want more black leads. I want more queer leads. I want different leads of all sorts, goddammit! Because as I was telling Trevor last night after we recorded our Geostorm review, as much as I still enjoy films with white male leads, I'm getting a little bored.
Welcome
I am finding
my world.
It a little predictable. So I want more, goddammit!
Yeah.
So, with that rant over, I am taking my rating up to a 4, because as a content creator, like, you want your stuff to have an impact.
Yeah.
And to see what the impact that this film has had, I'm happy for that.
No.
I'm happy for people like Hef, because finally!
I'm gonna have to cry again. That was so sweet!
So how about you give your rating before you actually do break?
5 out of 5 ugly cries! Oh, I fogged up my glasses. For real, no, this movie meant a lot to me, and I'm not a DC fan. So I do give it 5 out of 5. I do.
Oh yeah, like, I'm not a DC fan either. I just want a good comic book movie. I don't care what company it comes from. I just want a good entertaining movie!
And that was Wonder Woman.
And any film director who actually says that he feels the need to use a film to explain that Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman exist in the same universe. Watch the behind the scenes on Batman v Superman, because Snyder said this.
I don't even want to watch Batman v Superman.
Good!
Why would I watch the behind the scenes?
He needs to stay gone.
Goodbye.
So I'm going to sign off before I start ranting again.